The Point.
Hello, it's Mike Robin. Welcome to The Point, where all parts of pop culture come together. The stars of Fringe and Point is in the right direction. What's on tap for season two starting in just a couple of weeks? Big weekend at D23. The weekly world news is back and a big box office for Tyler Perry. It's Monday, September 14th, 2009, and we get to The Point right now.
This is The Point, The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
For television, survival is usually one season at a time. Fringe on the Fox network is entering season number two, but series star Joshua Jackson feels there's more than enough story left to be told for a lot of future seasons.
As we keep on discovering, the universe is potentially an expanding place with an infinite amount of possibilities within it, so why couldn't there be an infinite amount of things that we don't know? That being said, also from a storytelling standpoint, even if it turns out that there are no other dimensions or that you can't travel between them or we don't solve those questions in our lifetime so they become moot, from a storytelling standpoint, it allows those guys who just walked out, if they can dream it up, we can do it. And that, to me, is the fun of television.
Meanwhile, Joshua's co-star Anna Torv is pretty excited about starting her sophomore year with Fringe and has a lot of expectations for where her character is going to go this year.
I'm really hoping that this year she becomes a little kind of more mysterious, actually, and a little bit more of an object, because I feel like last season she was very much she often would take the audience's point of view and she would just kind of watch things, and I feel like this season she's going to kick in and you're going to see what her opinion is, as opposed to being the I feel like she was really the watcher, like the observer, really, whereas I think she's going to become a little more proactive and a little bit more her own person.
So how do they avoid that second or hopefully third season slump? Joshua has a plan for that.
If we can all remain invigorated by making it, and you can build a conceit, the central conceit of the show that can constantly be changing and growing, then it should never get boring.
Meanwhile, Anna's focus is pretty clear.
I'm just glad to have the gig.
Fringe begins season two, September 25th on Fox. It's Monday, September 14th, 2009. Here's what's going on in pop culture right now. It's a familiar title coming back, but this time you'll find it in the comic stores rather than in the supermarket checkout lines. The Weekly World News was a staple in grocery store checkout lanes until about 2007, and toward the end, it was very comic book friendly, with a number of comic book creators doing regular work for the newspaper, and there was even regular comic strips toward the end of the run by people like John Byrne, Sergio Aragonés, and Peter Begg. Now IDW is bringing Weekly World News back as a four-issue comic book series called Weekly World News, The Irredemption of Ed Anger. Many of the regular headline characters from Weekly World News will continue in the IDW feature, like Bad Boy. And the good news is a lot of those comic strips we mentioned will also be reprinted, so a lot of us will have a chance to see those for the first time. The first issue of IDW's Weekly World News will appear in January. It was a unique weekend at the box office with Tyler Perry's comedy I Can Do Bad All By Myself having a decent run at the number one spot with $24 million. It was also a pretty disappointing weekend for Nine that came in at a very low second place in the run. And Sorority Row and Whiteout also didn't quite come out of the box office gate anywhere near what was expected. Behind the Perry comedy at number one, Nine came in with $15 million to hold the number two spot. Inglourious Basterds was still at number three. Final Destination slipped from number one to number five. Whiteout debuted at number seven this week. District 9 still in the top 10 with $108 million total in the box office so far for them. And G.I. Joe, Rise of the Cobra, one of the last of the summer blockbusters, still in the top 20 at number 11 with a total of $144 million so far. You might remember Capstone Press as the people who released some nonfiction graphic science graphic novels and featured one continuing character, super scientist Max Axiom. Well, now they have a new series of Graphic Expedition graphic novels featuring a new character, Dr. Izzy Soto. Now, these are 32-page full-color graphic novels, which in my book makes them just hardcover comic books, but still, the word graphic novel helps get them into schools and get them into the hands of new readers, and that's what's important. They're priced at $19.95 each, are targeted at schools and libraries as well. They feature glossaries and sidebars, diagrams, all sorts of things things to, well, make them legitimate as far as the school use is concerned. The first six Graphic Expedition volumes, which have a grade 3 to 4 reading level, are available right now, and the rest are scheduled for early in the year to be released in schools in January of 2010. One of the biggest rumors out of the Disney-Marvel acquisition, of course, has been the fact that Pixar might be starting work on an Ant-Man movie, but that's not necessarily true. Edgar Wright, who's been involved so far in the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World feature, is now turning his attention to Ant-Man because that's pretty much what he's been contracted for the past couple of years. Wright claims he's working on a second draft of the script along with writer Joe Cornish. That had to take a backseat while he finished work on Scott Pilgrim, but now he's turning his full attention to Ant-Man. But he said he would welcome any collaboration with Pixar. Strictly editorially speaking, keep in mind Pixar has not necessarily said if they did the project they'd want to do it as an animated feature. That was just almost an assumption on the internet's fault. But in the meanwhile, keep in mind that Pixar is involved with live-action films. They're behind the Edgar Rice Burroughs' John Carter of Mars live-action adaptation that's being filmed right now. In an effort to free up some time in the upcoming Emmy broadcast, the Creative Arts parts of the Emmy Awards were held over the weekend, and awards were handed out to a number of shows, including Comedy Central's South Park, getting an Emmy for Outstanding Animated Program. Saturday Night Live picked up a couple for a guest actor in a comedy series. The award went to Justin Timberlake for his SNL appearances. And Tina Fey's impersonation of Sarah Palin got her the Outstanding Actress in a Comedy Series Award as well. Upcoming, all the rest of the awards, the 61st Annual Primetime Emmys, they'll be on CBS Live starting this Sunday at 8 p.m. It was Disney's turn to take the big stage over the weekend at Disney's first ever D23 Expo, the fan convention you've heard us talk about, that was held at Anaheim for the past few days. A big movie exhibition kicked it off, and boy, was it big. A lot of great people were there, starting with Robert Zemeckis, who came along to talk about, of course, A Christmas Carol, the 3D stop-motion movie scheduled for not too far from right now. Tim Burton was there to talk about Alice in Wonderland as well. Guillermo del Toro came in live via video from New Zealand. His announcement involved a new project called Disney's Double Dare You, a new group that'll make animated films with a little bit of a horror adventure basis to them. And then there were the Muppets, who also came along to push their new Disney project, a new motion picture called The Cheapest Muppet Movie Ever Made, scheduled for sometime in the not-so-near future. But the biggest moment of all belonged to Johnny Depp, who came out in character as Captain Jack Sparrow to help announce the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, number 4 in the series, this time called On Stranger Tides and set for summer 2011. One of the most anticipated moments of Disney's fan convention, D23, over the weekend was waiting to see what was going to be said about Marvel. And Disney president and CEO Robert Iger got that out of the way quickly when his remarks included some that basically reiterated everything that had been said so far about the Marvel acquisition by the Disney company, talking about the similarities between the characters and all the great things that can happen to those Marvel characters when they get the Disney push to become a little more global than they are right now. If you're looking for any hints in there about, well, taking over his titles, canceling things like The Punisher, and making Wolverine a little more like Mickey, well, they certainly weren't there. And again, pretty much all the talk was about the great similarities between the two companies and the future plans to help make Marvel characters as globally accepted as those are from Disney. Next year's New York Comic Con just got a lot bigger with the new plans to co-locate not only the New York Comic Con, but also the New York Anime Festival for that year. The two events will take place at the same time, October 8th to the 10th in 2010, and all take place in the giant Javits Center in the heart of New York City. There will be separate programming and guest lists. No idea yet exactly how they plan to do as far as attendance or ticketing goes, but it truly will be one-stop entertainment for fans of both genres, and there is a lot of crossover there as well. For the growing plans for New York Comic Con and New York Anime Fest 2010, and also for the upcoming Anime Fest, not that far away from right now for this year, get all that information, of course, on the NYCC website or mediumatlarge.com. Scott Rosenbaum, the guy behind the production work on Chuck and The Shield, is trying something new and teaming up with the folks at Warner Brothers TV and Wonderland Sound and Vision. They're the folks who've also worked with him on Chuck, as well as the upcoming Human Target series and the Supernatural series on CW. Not much is known about this new project, but what it is kind of raises an eyebrow. It's said to be a Western, but with a science fiction twist. Can you say Firefly? Again, no word about a production schedule or when we might even see this possible series on any network schedule. But at least for the genre alone, it makes it interesting and one we're definitely going to follow. Well, so much for that Last Son of Krypton thing. Season 9 of Smallville has added another guest appearance on their list, a list that's getting pretty full over the next few weeks. Julian Sand has been cast to play the role of Jor-El. He'll show up in an episode that's scheduled for November on Smallville. No word yet on how Jor-El managed to survive the last days of Krypton. Meanwhile, he joins such other classic characters as the Wonder Twins and the Justice Society, all scheduled to turn up at some point over the new season of Smallville, which is Season 9 and begins on the CW in just a few weeks.
Weird scenes inside the gold mine.
And you know what this means? This means you can earn some real money.
After I listened to President Obama getting heckled at the joint session last week, I thought of Jack Parr. I kid you not.
Okay, you can always sleep through work tomorrow, okay? Hey, hey, tomorrow's just your future yesterday.
Actually, I thought of Parr after I heard Craig Ferguson's comment the following night. For the culturally impaired, Jack Parr was the host of The Tonight Show before Johnny Carson, which was shortly after the invention of electricity. Parr was the most controversial person on TV. Every morning, people would talk about what he said the night before. Everybody. If you didn't watch the show, you had no business at the water cooler. Parr famously and temporarily quit The Tonight Show because the NBC censors wouldn't let him say WC. I'm not being euphemistic. He wanted to say WC. That's short for water closet, which was a polite euphemism for toilet. Parr thought if he couldn't even say that, then why should he be on television?
This is the last show for perhaps ever, I don't know. Some people I know expect a tearful farewell, and others, I'm sure, gleefully expect me to take a jab at the network or swing at some newspaper. I'm going to disappoint both of you tonight.
The evening following the joint session, late-night talk host Craig Ferguson said, "When Wilson yelled, 'You lie,' at the president, I don't think he handled it very well. The president should go out and hone his material in some comedy clubs and deal with hecklers. Obama should have said, 'Hey, buddy, do I come to your state and knock the wiener out of your governor's mistress?'" Parr might have found that joke rude, but damn, NBC wouldn't let him say WC because it was disrespectful in that hallowed venue. This is Mike Gold on the pop culture channel, The Point.
That's right, folks, don't touch that dial.
Well, I am the snipe from the radio, moving along on the living room floor. I am the snipe from the radio.
Some familiar titles on our list of the five things you gotta check out at the comic store this week, but some that you might pass by unless we give you a nudge in the proper direction. It starts with a stopover at the Archie section. It's Archie number 601. And yes, the marriage of Archie and Veronica, or at least the pre-marriage ceremonies, are about ready to get underway. And the story continues in here in a pretty landmark issue that you may want to pick up just for the fun of it. Batman and Robin, the award-winning, critically acclaimed, great series from DC, from Grant Morrison, is hitting issue number 4 this week. And again, if you've not gotten it so far, well, there are ways to pick up the second or third printings of some of those early issues and now jump on with number 4. Galactica 1980, not the brightest spot in the history of the Battlestar Galactica saga, but one that was, well, noteworthy for a couple of different reasons, and now writer Mark Guggenheim is bringing it to comics with a totally different twist, and one that certainly deserves a look. First issue of Galactica 1980 this week, out from Dynamite Entertainment. From Marvel, there's Captain America Reborn number 3. Again, you really need to be following this. A very interesting turn in the history of Captain America. And speaking of history, one of the big bookmarks in the Marvel history line was, of course, Secret Wars. Now, there's a Secret War trade paperback new printing that's available this week, and you may want to check that out as well. That's available from Marvel Comics. Of course, all these available at great comic stores all around the country. From wherever you are, there's probably a comic book store you don't even know about right around the corner, but the way to uncover that is with the Comic Book Locator service, toll-free at 1-888-COMIC-BOOK, or with a free app in the iTunes App Store. Good memories on the way. Here we go back to
1974.
Former President Richard Nixon was diagnosed with a blood clot in his left leg. A document was uncovered and released that alleged that the oil companies in the U.S. had overcharged the American public over $100 million over the past 12 months. With a new album sitting on top of the Billboard charts, Stevie Wonder kicked off his first tour since an automobile accident left him in a four-day coma last year. In the movies, there was Three the Hard Way, something called Trick Baby, Buster and Billy, California Split, and Charles Bronson in the very first Death Wish. TV Tonight had premiere episodes of an ABC series called New Land. Returning for the second year was Kung Fu, and Mary Tyler Moore and Bob Newhart also made their season debuts as well tonight. And on NBC, there was Emergency.
Time Machine.
On the radio, a band formed as a concert act to tour with a very popular vocalist in Sweden. Their original name was the translated Blue Denim Skirt. Seems like Blue Swede fit a lot better, and their second hit was a remake of Never My Love.
You ask me if there'll come a time when I grow tired of you. Never my love. You wonder if this heart of mine will just decide for you. What makes you think love will end when you know that my whole life depends on you?
Some pretty cool stuff on the way here. Hang on as we look back to
1965.
In the wake of the destruction from Hurricane Betsy, the government made plans to institute a system to detect and track storms more accurately. Three Canadian sailors turned up missing after an explosion ravaged an oil rig headed to the U.S. The Ford Motor Company became the first automaker to offer an 8-track tape player as an option in the line of vehicles they were selling. Tapes were initially available only at auto parts stores, and it'd be at least a year before there was a home 8-track unit available. In the movies, Julie was in The Sound of Music, Frank was in Von Ryan's Express, John Wayne was in Rio Bravo, there was Secret Invasion, and of course at the top of the ticket, Psycho. TV Tonight had the premiere of Please Don't Eat the Daisies. Top of the NBC ratings was Dr. Kildare. Over on ABC, there was McHale's Navy. CBS was riding high with Petticoat Junction and The Red Skelton Show. And ABC tapped the night with The Fugitive.
Time Machine!
Originally, these guys on the radio were part of an instrumental group called the Kleptones. They kind of came late in the British invasion, but they stayed around for hits in the late 60s and the early 70s, too. Here's You've Got Your Troubles, first big hit for the Fortunes. Puts a cap on our Monday. Thank you for coming along, but The Point continues 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as the world's first pop culture radio station. Listen free right now at getthepointradio.com or on your mobile device, including Blackberries and iPhones as well. In the meantime, this podcast is heard twice every week and produced by Malcontent Media for great websites like ComicMix.com, MichaelDavisWorld.com, ZZComics.com, and RavenswolfStudios.com. Catch us, of course, in the podcast directory at iTunes under The Point Radio, and get in touch with us at listen@getthepointradio.com. Have a great week. We'll be right back here on Friday.
Get the-